Let's turn now to our scripture reading for today. We're going to go to the book of Galatians. And again, this was our reading for this past week, Galatians chapter 6. There's a lot to choose from this week where I was going to preach. And Galatians 6 verses 1 through 8 kind of stood out. Felt like that's where the Holy Spirit was leading me. So Galatians, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Let's start with verse number 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning with these 8 verses here this morning. Again, I read out of an NIV translation. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit it will reap eternal life. Let's pray. Father, as we ponder on the scripture reading here today, Father, I just pray that the truths that are going to be revealed, that have been revealed by the scripture, by your word, will transform us from the inside out, will guide us, Lord. Many times we have questions and we need guidance. So I'm praying, Lord, that the scripture reading here today and the other scriptures that I give here this morning will give us guidance and questions that we may have as to how we deal with certain situations with believers and with unbelievers. Thank you for guiding us today. Thank you for Jesus as being our Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Well, we are certainly more than halfway through our journey through the New Testament in 2019. This is our 33rd week. And I have titled today's message, Family Sin, Unbelievers in parentheses. Now, I owe you an explanation as to where I'm going to go here this morning. Two things I want to point out. One is, recently I had a conversation with an individual, and this person was seeking some guidance and direction on how to handle a certain situation that was going on in their family. And I thought, great question, but it was probably something that I was not going to be able to answer in a very short amount of time. But I thought, what a great sermon that would be. So I kind of took this person's question, their situation, and I applied it to the sermon for today. Kind of. Okay? I thought, okay, here's the situation. I wanted to find some scripture in this past week's reading that would apply to this person's situation. And I couldn't find anything directly because, and the closest thing I found was Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 8. But the more I start getting into it, the more I had to realize this whole situation has to be dealt with in two different ways. So I couldn't possibly speak at all in one morning, or else would be here till 1:30, and I'd have to buy everybody Snickers bars. And so I wasn't going to do that. Amen? So I'm going to divide this up into two sections. Today, we're going to talk about unbelievers. Next week, we'll talk about believers. So let's get into the situation that was presented to me. And let's look to see how we want to handle this. And we're going to get very practical with a very practical life situation, but we're going to get very biblical, as we should, with the answers. Here's the question. What should our response be to a family member, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, grandchild, cousin, aunt, uncle, family member, who is caught up in a habitual sin? That's our question. This situation is more common than what we realize. The question then becomes, are we handling this sinning family member in a biblical manner? Or could we, in our efforts to love one another, which is a biblical command, could we be condoning their sinful behavior? And there's a fine line here, and we need to understand what our biblical position is as Christians, and not to do what we think is right. Sometimes what we think is right is biblical, but sometimes what we think is right is just what we want to do. So let's look at the direction and the truths that we can find here in Galatians 6, 1 through 8, and other scriptures that speak on this same topic. And there's going to be a lot to cover, and as I stated earlier, I can't complete it all in just one Sunday, not today. Today I will cover family members that are unbelievers. Next week I'll cover family members that are believers. So let's begin with several different hypothetical situations. You have a family member, a mom, dad, sister, brother, son, daughter, grandchild, cousin, aunt, uncle, etc., who is practicing an immoral or unethical lifestyle. And I need to phrase that lifestyle, because we're all guilty of incidental sin here and there. I'm talking about people who are caught up in a lifestyle of some sort of sin. A couple different choices. Perhaps they are deep into the LGBTQ movement. Perhaps they are living with a partner outside of a marital relationship. Perhaps they are involved in some kind of unethical business practice. They work in the finance department and they are cooking the books, so to speak. Or perhaps they have fallen prey to an addiction and their recreational drugs have become their god, little g. And we know that this list can go on and on and on. So, what do we, as Christians, do when we know that this is happening to someone close to us, like a family member? And to complicate the matter, because this person is a family member, there is what they call in the Greek storge love. There's four types of love in the Greek. One is agape love, which is unconditional type love. There is eros type love, which is a sexual or an intimate type of love. There is philia type love, which is brotherly love. That would be the love that we would have for one another. But then there's a fourth type of love in the Greek called storge love. That's family love, love that we have for our family members. And you love this person, and you do not want to hurt their feelings. However, you do not want to see them go down a path of unrighteous living either. So are we to judge? What is a Christian to do? So let's go through the proper steps and biblically answer these tough questions. Again, it'll take us 2 weeks to figure this out. So let's go to our first fill in the blank, because this is going to be the place where there's going to be a fork in the road, and we must make sure that we choose the right fork. Fill in the blank. Determine their position in Christ. Does this family member call himself or herself a Christian? This is critical because, like I said, there are going to be two different paths that we're going to follow depending on the answer to that question. And we must make sure of this. It's not if we think they are a believer or an unbeliever. We must ask them, and what do they claim to be? Do they claim to be in Christ? Or do they claim that they are not, or that they are an unbeliever? So today, as I said, we're going to talk about a family member who is an unbeliever. And that person will tell you by their own admission that they are not Christian. So we need to settle that issue first. What are they telling you? Are they in Christ or not? So now where do we go? They have told us that they are an unbeliever. So let's go to our next fill in the blank and see how the Bible instructs us. The Bible never commands us to directly confront an unbeliever with their sin. We are to confront them with the gospel. We want to allow God to do his work. That doesn't mean that we can't point something out to them, but it also means that we don't beat them over the head with a book that they couldn't care less about. Okay? But we're not to continually confront them with their sin. We confront them with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 5:13 tells us God will judge those outside the church, those who are not believers. So then all kinds of questions probably come up in our minds then. Well, so what should I do? Can I still hug them? Should I even speak to them? Should I throw them out of the house? Should I not show up at the family picnic because so-and-so is going to be there? And we could draw up 1,000 different scenarios, and each one may need to be treated just a little bit different from the next, depending on the circumstances. So let me draw two conclusions, and then I'll leave it up to you and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to determine which direction you need to take and when. First, let's go in this direction. We'll call this the love direction. What do we know from the Bible and about Jesus in the Gospels? We know this. Jesus ate with sinners, Jesus fed the sinners, and Jesus spoke with sinners. The unsaved, the unbelievers, the sinners, they are our mission field. And the mission field needs to hear the gospel. And the mission field needs to see the gospel in action. They need to see the love direction. But there's a little caveat I want to throw in here, and that will be our next fill in the blank. It says this. You share the love of Jesus with unbelieving family members, but you never condone or enable their sinful actions. We are never to condone or enable their sinful actions. What did Jesus say to the adulterous woman in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11? He told her that he forgave her. He said, I don't condemn you. But then he said what? Go and leave your lifestyle of sin. We need to drench them with the love of Jesus. But at no time can we ever allow this love that we give them to appear that we are condoning their sinful actions and their sinful lifestyle. We can never do that. We never condone sin of any sort. So that is one direction we could take. We could take the love direction. But there is another direction that we can and may need to take. And this direction that I'm about to speak about appears to be cold, and it appears to be very unloving. But this side is also very biblical, and we must learn what this other direction it is. So let's go to our next, and I think it's our final fill in the blank, and it'll be this. If a family member is an unbeliever, do not be yoked or bound together with that unbeliever. Yoked, what does it mean to be yoked together? Well, Webster defines yoke as a wooden bar or frame by which two draft animals, such as oxen, are joined at the heads or necks for working together. In other words, where one oxen goes, the other one will go. Now, I'm a city boy, so I don't know much about this, but I believe, for those of you that might understand this much better than I, if you put two oxen together and they are yoked together, they will travel together. And the implication that Paul is giving us in 2 Corinthians 6:14 is where one goes, the other is going to go. Where you go, they are going to go. Or should I say, where they go, you are going to go. What does it say? What does the verse say? Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Let me just give you some examples, some, again, hypothetical examples. If your unbelieving brother wants you go into business with him, don't do it. Don't do it. If your unbelieving sister asks you to join her in her quest for LGBTQ equality, don't do it. If you own a printing business and a customer wants you to print pornography, don't do it. Now, just a little quick little story I like to share at this time. For 10 years, you know, I worked at McClung Printing in Waynesboro, and our management had a policy. We will not print pornographic material. Trust me, there is a lot of opportunity to print pornographic material. It's just that McClung Printing did not want to get into that. Why? They did not want to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14 asks a series of rhetorical questions. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Nothing. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? None. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? None. And or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Nothing. We do not want to be yoked or partnered with such individuals. The Bible calls us to be separate from the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world, and we are to be separate from the world. Let me take this one step further, for maybe you might know of a person that's in a situation who is considering marriage. Do not marry a person who is an unbeliever. But here's what you'll hear. Well, he'll change, or she'll change, or I will be such a good influence on that person, they're going to turn to Christianity in no time. No matter how good of a provider that man may be, or how secure he might make that woman, that believing woman, feel, or how good that unbelieving woman may be to this person, or give the love and affection that believing man may need, don't do it. Somewhere down the road, the Bible assures us you are asking for trouble. Somewhere down the road. So let me just stop right there. If we follow this scriptural command, this does not make the Christian very popular with the world, or very popular with that unbeliever that's in your family. To them, we become a Christian who is cold-hearted and has no love whatsoever within them. We couldn't possibly be a Jesus follower if we act this way, now could we? To them, a Christian, listen, to them, a Christian must love everything about them, including their sin. And if we reject them for any reason, we cannot possibly love them. That unbeliever cannot separate the two, because they believe that we need to love everything about them. But we as Christians must be able to separate the two. We must be able to separate our love for that person, but we do not love what they are doing. And there, right there, my friends, is where the Christian fails so often. Because we want to be accepted. We want to blend in. And we certainly don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. After all, these are family members. And our love for them can carry over into our acceptance about everything about them, including their sin. Folks, it's not about feelings. It's about truth and obedience. So now we have two choices as to how we need to handle the unbelieving family member who is caught up in this lifestyle of sin. On this side, we want to love them, and we want to hug them, and we want to show them the love of Jesus. Why? Because they are family members, but they are also the mission field, and we want them to come to Christ, so we do this. Then on the other side, we need to separate ourselves from that person. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 5:5, a little leaven leavens what? The whole lump. And we do not want to be contaminated by their evil ways. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 33 tells us this: do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You have two oxen. If you have two people that are yoked together, remember, bad company corrupts good character. I'll tell you which one is going to lead. One bad apple does spoil the whole bunch, as the saying goes. And we need to be careful as we make this decision not to be too extreme on either side. Again, we can err way too much on love. And they think that we accept everything about them, including their sin. And then we can err way too much on separation over here. And they will never again consider God or consider religion or consider church or consider Jesus or Christianity as something we want to embrace. We can't go too far this way, and we can't go too far this way. Sounds like the answer is somewhere in between. And as I said earlier, it is a fine line. And we need to seek, oh, that word that begins with the letter D, discernment. We need to seek discernment. We need to seek and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as to the course of action, how we need to deal with family members who are unbelievers, who are in such situations. The Bible gives us two choices: the love direction or the separation direction. I just say this, we need to choose wisely, because the answer is somewhere in here. Today, we use Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 8, and we didn't even look at anything there. But we used it as a springboard for this topic, and today we considered family sin if that family member is an unbeliever. Next week, we're going to look at the family member who is a believer and how we need to deal with that brother or sister in Christ who is caught up in habitual sin. Now let's go to God in prayer here this morning.